May only the truth be spoken and only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. Amen. As the storied people of God, mountaintop experiences are in our DNA. Sometimes we go to the mountaintop because there's nowhere else to go. Like Noah at Ararat, we float aimlessly, surrounded by a sea of regret, until God offers us an olive branch and brings us to the place where we can begin again. Sometimes we go to the mountaintop because our faith is put to the test, like Abraham at Moriah. We arrive at the place in our lives where we feel that we will have to let go of what we dearly love. But we discover, when we get there, that God will never ask us for more than we can bear to give over. Sometimes we go to the mountaintop to discover what has set us free, like Moses at Sinai, who brought us a covenant from God, a list of promises that descended from the mountain on stone tablets, but now is written on our hearts. Again and again, in the steady, sometimes wearying climb of our lives, forgiveness, sacrifice, and deliverance meet us on the mountaintop. And that's because when we go to the mountaintop, we go to see God, whose very nature is forgiveness, sacrifice, deliverance. And in seeing God, we are meant to get a clear picture of ourselves, because it is in God's image that we are created. And at Vestry, as in life, what matters is what we see and what we don't see when we get to the mountaintop. Here's one for the book of bizarre coincidences. In 2020, we celebrated Vestry on Transfiguration Sunday as well. And at that time, I spoke about being on the mountaintop, about seeing the path that lay before us. A path of challenges, yes, a deficit budget that we needed to tackle, some staffing challenges to work out so that our ministry would be a well-oiled machine. But really, we expected a fairly gentle descent down the mountain and on to the road of our ministry back then, didn't we? At that time, from that height, we saw a fairly clear path forward with not many obstacles. After all, this is Redeemer, right? What didn't we see? 2 weeks after that vestry, we would be plunged into a pandemic. That everything would change. The way we gathered for worship, the way we reached out to the community, our very presence in the church and on the streets of our cities, everything changed. We didn't see that coming. That's the thing about being on the mountaintop. You can miss the minuscule that becomes mammoth and changes everything. And yet we thrived, didn't we? We pivoted. We reimagined the way we did most things. Everyone pitched in some way. And we stayed connected despite everything. I want to thank you for that, for everything. Then, just 2 months later, George Floyd was killed. We should have seen that coming. Not his death in particular, of course, but we should have seen that racism was as much a part of our DNA as being on the mountaintop was. We started to address that last year. Training, committees, education, and prayer, of course, but there's so much more work to do. You'll hear more about that this year. Then last year, another thing we didn't see coming. Unmarked graves of Indigenous children were discovered, and more since, just recently. Like racism, that's another thing that we don't always see from the mountaintop. How we cover up injustice so that our sin remains hidden. What is there to say about that? I don't know. It's still pretty raw, isn't it? I don't think we've processed our guilt and complicity fully. Maybe the mural project will be our way of helping our community, our nation, through that in a visual way, as a lasting symbol. That's one of the things we'll decide today, together. And in the weeks and days before this vestry, there's more that we didn't see coming. Deep divisions in our own country. Protests that set neighbor against neighbor, everybody frustrated, everybody angry, all for different reasons. And while the trucks and the tractors might be out of sight for now, conflict is not out of mind by a long shot. There are still signs that we are not at peace with ourselves. More than ever, we need to be a reconciling presence in this world and on this corner. And now there's war. I never thought I'd see it. Not like this, anyway. It touches us all, of course. Not just because there are members of our own community, our church community, no less, who have family who may be in harm's way at this very moment. Not just because, as a global village, whatever happens in the Ukraine will affect our lives, of course. But because we are children of God, and our failure to stand up to feckless thugs or to succor those who are in need is our failure to live in the image of the God whom we meet on the mountain, in whose face we see forgiveness, sacrifice, and deliverance. What does it all mean? It is vestry. We are again on the mountaintop, like we were 2 years ago. But with a deep chasm between where we are and where we thought we would be. So what have we learned, and how do we go forward? Well, the end of the Epiphany may be where vestry begins, but our ministry, our calling, the covenant that we made with God in our baptism, that has been with us all along. Epiphany began where all our promises to be God's people in the world began, in baptism. If you can think back at the baptism of Jesus we celebrated in Luke's Gospel, the heavens were opened, and God said, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." God did not just say that to Jesus. God said that to us. We are the beloved. It's why I call you beloved every time I share the peace with you. I think back to that passage where God named Jesus and us as such. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's purpose for us. In other words, our calling has been clear all along: to be Christ's body in the world and witness to the God who is forgiveness, sacrifice, and deliverance. All those things we meet on the mountain. I am awed at how faithful we have been to those promises in the last 2 years. I feel so blessed to be a part of this community. And now Epiphany ends on the mountaintop, and Vestry begins. The time when we are called to fix our gaze on what we believe God is calling us to be. If the past 2 years have taught us anything, it is that we can't imagine the challenges we may have to face. But we also cannot see the grace that will be revealed as we meet those challenges. But the voice of God is different on the mountaintop than it was when we gathered at the river. For today, God speaks to us in a different way. As we pray for discernment at Vestry, God says in today's Gospel, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." It would be easy to take the tone of a moralist and say, "Do what Jesus says and everything will be okay." Part of that's true, but it's not the whole truth. Because this Gospel begins 8 days after these sayings. Did you wonder what that was about? What Luke is referring to is Jesus' revelation to Peter of his passion. The first time that Jesus says that the road ahead for him leads to suffering and death before he rises from the dead. So when God says, "Listen to him," God is telling the disciples something about Jesus' calling and about God's very nature. And that is sacrifice. So too for us. The road ahead to the fullness of our ministry will mean sacrifice. Creating a more sustainable budget will involve sacrifice for us all. Rethinking, creatively reimagining what we can do and what we can be as we emerge from this pandemic. But we've been here before, uncertain, not clearly seeing the way forward. And the deep temptation is inertia, to give in to Peter's anxiety and stay on the mountaintop because it's safe and it's what we know. But that's not where we are called. We are called into the wilderness to take an uncertainty but deeply hopeful journey together in this vestry and whatever God is calling us to as we inch our way out of this pandemic. I believe that this is yet another chapter in the storied people of God. We who relentlessly follow the Redeemer. Just like mountaintop experiences, I believe that resurrection is in our DNA. Amen.